Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be covering Ovadia Perek Aleph, which is really the whole Sefer of Ovadia, because Ovadia is the shortest Sefer in all of Nach, being one Perek. So let's take a look at this. We had looked at an introduction to the overall perspective and context of the Sefer. Now let's look at the actual Psukim. The Perek consists of 21 Psukim, and we can look at it in three basic sections. The first section, which covers the first 9 psukim, Aleph to Tes, is about the destruction of Edom. And here's how it goes. We'll do each section by itself, and then some points to ponder on each section. It starts off as a vision, Chazon Ovadia. This is the vision of Ovadia. Komar Hashem le'Edom, Shemua Shom'anu me'es Hashem v'tzir b'goyim shulach kumu v'nakumu aleha la'milchama. There's this statement, there's this Shmua, there's this knowledge, public knowledge, which is going around that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the nations against Edom. You are small among the nations. You're very lowly, but you think that you're so high. You think that nobody can take you down. Mi yori deini oretz, you say in Pasuk Gimel. But, says Hashem, im tagbia kaneshe, even if you rise like the eagle, sim kinecha, and even if you place your nest among the stars, Misham Oridachonu Mashem. Hashem promises to take down that arrogant Edom in the future. And he describes how that they may have had many times where they were rioted against, but they were never fully destroyed. Im Ganovim Bo Alecha, Im Shodo De Laila, you may have had raids from Ganovim. Echnid Mosa Loignovu Dayom, Im Boitzrim Bo Alecha, Lo Yashiru Olelos. You were always able to replenish, you were always able to survive the onslaught, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, but at the end of time, it's going to be in Pasuk Tes, V'chatu giboirecho teimon l'man yikores ish mahar esov mikotel. You'll be totally destroyed at the end. So it's a sort of a description of turning to this arrogant nation of Edom, which really should be small, but reaches very high. And Hashem says, I'll bring you down, even if at the first attempt it doesn't look like you'll be brought down. That seems to be the summary of this. What is going on over here? What is this first vision that we hear this Shmua that Edom is going to be destroyed? So, in order to really understand this, one of the Meforshim, which is really the most pertinent to this, is the Abar Barnel. We need to learn the Abar Barnel. And to appreciate the Abar Barnel, we need to also appreciate the history of the time. I read a book called The Dogs of God, which is about the Dominican friars and the period leading up to 1492 in Spain, in the Iberian Peninsula, as the Catholic kingdom of Castile and Aragon united to form what is today Spain, and ultimately waging war in the south against the Moors, rebutting all the remaining southern area from Muslim rule, and at the same time fueling their war effort with the Inquisition, which took away the property of the Jews, and finally the expulsion in July of 1492. To appreciate what's going on here and the rise of Catholicism and its power to the nth degree. Abar Barnel, who was in fact one of the second highest Jewish minister, he was a tax farmer for the government at the time, tried to spend much of the time that he had in the 3-month window to dissuade the expulsion of the Jews to no avail, and ultimately chose exile himself rather than to stay with his assets and convert. He went to Italy, and it's a very interesting description of his own life. And he points out the following. He says that ultimately Christianity will conquer Jerusalem. It'll conquer Israel because they have their holy sites, or their savior is buried there. And they'll take it from Egypt. But in response to that, the whole world of Islam, the Muslim world, will converge upon the Christians who came and took in a crusade the land of Israel. And in that battle, that's what we're referring to over here, how the Tzir Bagoyim Shulach, Kumu V'Nakumu Aleha Lamilchama, that all the nations are going to war with Christianity. And it's going to be this war, this mega war of East and West, West coming in, dominating and colonizing, and the East fighting back, and the Jews ultimately finding their salvation at that point in time. At this point in time, one should be aware that as Ferdinand and Isabella became such a dominant and terrifying power in the Iberian Peninsula, there was talk of going to re-crusade against Jerusalem and wrest it from the hands of the Muslims, and the Abar Barnel is talking specifically about that. I wonder personally, historically speaking, if we're looking at World War I as the Ottoman Empire is carved up by the Western nations between Britain and France, one would wonder if this is already actually having occurred already. To understand this, historically speaking, in the Crusades, in the First Crusade, when Jerusalem was attacked by the Christians, we have documents from people at the time who talk about how, when the Crusaders surrounded and besieged Jerusalem, the Jews and Muslims together would fight side by side against the Crusaders, and when they were killed, they were both Jews and Muslims were not allowed to enter into Jerusalem for the first period of time. And we talk about the blood running through the streets, blood of Jews and Muslims together. Very complicated time, and it seems to be that Rabbi Barmanel is also saying that this prophecy fits into that historical moment. What does it mean in the pasuk when it says "im katona taba inecha," which is the second pasuk of Edom? If you're small in your eyes, but you raised so lofty, you're so arrogant. What is it referring to? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Amud Aleph says that the Romans really didn't inherit their own culture. They didn't create their own culture. They really sort of just abrogated it from the Greeks, from the surrounding European nations. So they don't really have their own culture. They're sort of like a lowly nation. And that's the way that Gemara Avodah Zarah looks at it. The Radak says, no, it means to say that they had been vanquished in the past, whereas Rabbi Barmanel says it's referring to the future, that they're one small country, but from the area of Edom came out emissaries, came out messengers who finally settled in the land of Italy, settled in the land of Greece, and finally took it over and took the world as one of the most dominant and powerful empires the world has ever seen. And it's interesting that when describing when this final battle, when they'll finally be cut down in Pasuk Tes is, there happens to be a debate. So Ibn Ezra says that when was that referring to? He says it's more local. It was when the Edomites, as the nation of Edom, living in Edom, in the southeast area of Israel, would be cut down by Nebuchadnezzar after the destruction of the first temple. Radak says it's a little later. It's during the period during the second Beis HaMikdash, when ultimately Hyrcanus, who was one of the Hashmonaim kings, fought back the Romans. But the Barmanel says that's too small-minded to think about it specifically discrete events in history that Avadir is referring to. He says no. It's referring to the ultimate battle between the West and the East. It's going to be the ultimate battle between the Jews and Christianity. Christianity, which oppressed, killed, and maimed Jews throughout all of history. There'll be this final showdown, which is what Avadia seems to be talking about here. And this is very current and very relevant in terms of understanding the end game. Now, let's move on to the next section. The next section moves from Pasuk Yud to Yudalad, and this talks about sort of the mishandling of Israel. Why is it that Edom is so culpable, so liable? Well, it's because you mistreated Israel. You stood on, in Pasuk Yudalad, here's B'yom Amodcha Mineged B'yom Shavuos Gezarim. You sort of stood on the side as the other nations were taking us into captivity. And in Yugimel, Al Tavoy B'sharami, don't come into the gates of my nation, B'yom Edom, on the day of their destruction. Al Tere Gamato B'ra'oisoi B'yom Edoi. Don't look look as they're being destroyed. Al Tashlich Tishlach Na B'chelo B'yom Edoi. Don't send your army on the day of their destruction. So he is guilty of onlooking and being involved in the destruction. When is this referring to? So Ibn Ezra says it refers to the Golus in the Bais Rishon, when the Edomites were these looters who came in after the Babylonians to take advantage of the slave trade, to take advantage of the Jews who were in a predicament. The Radak says no, it refers to when Rome conquers the nation of Israel or Judea in the second Bais HaMikdash. And the Barmanel once again says that these are both true elements, but they're not all true. In the sense that if you look through this little section over here, it sounds like there's times where Edom is accused of being our brother, but onlooking. That refers to, yes, in the first Beis HaMikdash, like the Ibn Ezra says, but it sounds like he's more active in Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, which is in the second Beis HaMikdash. Meaning to say, both the Radak and Ibn Ezra are right, that there's a history of attrition. There's a history of onlooking and actually involvement in the destruction of Israel, which is why they are culpable for this. Let's move into the third and last section where this now gets broadened. The third and last section goes from Pasuk Tes Vav to Chaf Aleph, which is the end of the Perek. And there are some very famous psukim which are to be found in this section. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Ki Karov Yom Hashem Al Kol HaGoyim. The day of God, the day of retribution, is going to come for all the nations. Asher kasher osisa yaseh lecha gbulucha yoshu b'roshecha, which the Mefarshim understand to mean is, like you, Edom, are going to be punished for what you did, all the other nations are going to be punished for what they did to Israel. in Jerusalem, for all the blood that's been spilt, there's going to be retribution. And it describes how all the nations are going to come together and they're going to be vanquished. So very much apocalyptic descriptions over here. And we hear the famous pasuk in Yud Ches, Vayar Beis Yaakov Le'esh, the house of Jacob, the house of Yaakov will be a fire, Ubeis Yosef Le'havar, and the house of Yosef will be a flame, Ubeis Esav Le'kash V'dolku Bohem V'acholum V'lo Yeh Sorid Le'veis Esav. Ki Hashem Diber. And they will consume the house of Esav, which is likened to sort of a barn, which is full with dry hay, and the spark will leave the fire and consume the entire barn. There'll be no one left at all. At this point in time, there's a description about how all the Galuyos will return from all the places. And finally, which is actually added to the Siddur, which is that on that day, the saviors will ascend the mountain of Zion to judge those on the mountain of Esav, and Hashem will have dominance over the world. So this is the final prophecy. Seems to be broadening the scale to the final battle and the final showdown. Three psukim we're just going to focus on briefly, and this will be the end of our understanding today. Number one is the pasuk Yud Ches about this notion of the house of Yaakov being the flame, and Yosef being the spark and consuming Esav. What is this referring to? So Barbanel says that this refers to in the time of Kibbutz Goliath, when all the nations will come back to, when all the Jews will return from every single nation on earth where they've been scattered to, when they come back together, the sheer magnitude of that force will be so powerful that it will ultimately vanquish the powers of Edom. What if you look at the penultimate pasuk in pasuk Chof, it talks about where all these Goliaths are coming from. The Golos Hechel, as it is beginning Golos, Livnei Yisrael Asher Kanaanim Ad Tzarfas, the Golos Yerushalam Asher Bisfarad. It mentions two countries. Tzarfas is France, and Sfarad is Spain. And he points out this is the European and the Spanish exile, and he talks about the Barbanel explicitly talks about the different cities when they settled in Andalusia, which is in the south. And in Castilla and in Tultula, which are different cities which the Jews settled in anciently from the times of the destruction in Spain. And he adds one very chilling comment. This is what Barbanel says, and I want to just quote his actual words. V'ulai shikiven gam kein el b'nei Yisrael. Maybe this prophecy is referring to the nation of Israel, asher yotzu miklal hadas, those who left their religion, mitokef hatzorois v'ashmodois, because of the terrifying terror, because of the torture that they went through. V'nisharu b'tzorfas v'sorad la'alafim l'revavois kihilos gedolois. And thousands and tens of thousands left the faith because of their torture in these countries. Shem yoshuvu ubikshu es Hashem Elokeihem. And they are going to come back and search out Hashem, k'mo yishmehem oisim hayom hazeh, as we see it today. Vohem tiskayem zois hanavuah. And this is when the prophecies will be restored. Just today, if you look in the news, it talks about how Spain is now extending citizenship to expelled Jews, which is the Barbanel is living through. And we're talking about perhaps millions of people who have claimed to ancient Jewish descent because of what happened then. Says the Barbanel, there'll come a day where even they will be able to come back as well. Finally, the last pasuk, what is this notion of Olu Moshe Ma'atzion Shpot Esar Esav? What is the, when are these saviors going to come up to the mountain of Zion? What is mountain of Esav? So the mountain of Zion sounds like there's going to be a battle which is fought around Yerushalayim, which the Jews are going to be part of, and ultimately they will succeed in wresting it from the other nations and will be able to have control of Yerushalayim, which we ourselves are witnessing blessedly today. And the Har Esav, the Barbanel says, does not mean to say some city in Jordan today. It means to say the city of power of Rome, whether it be ideologically or whether it be an actual city as well. This pasuk actually explains an earlier conversation in Tanakh. If you go to Parshas Vayishlach, for which this perek is in fact the Haftarah of this entire book of Avadia, there is a very fascinating comment or conversation that occurs between Esav and Yaakov. Esav, after accepting, so to speak, Yaakov's apology and seems to take him under his wing, he says, "Vayomer lov." So he turns to him and he says the following words. He makes an offer, a very strange offer. This is in Perek Lamed Gimel and Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomar nisa v'neilcha v'elcha l'negdecha. Let's go together. Let's walk together. Now that we're buddies again, let's go. Let's go and we'll walk again.
And Yaakov responds, no, I'm sorry. The children are weak. I have so much flock and sheep. You're going to push them. Everything's going to die. Rather, Yavor no Adoni lifnei avodoy. You go first. I'll go slowly. I'll go according to the children's pace. Ad avoy asher avoy el Adoni Seira. Then I'll come to Seir. And Rashi points out that never in Tanakh do we ever see Yaakov ever fulfilling that promise. Never do we see that Yaakov ever arrives in Seir. So Rashi, quoting the Midrash in Bereshit Rabba, says yes. Because when is he talking about? He's talking about the times of Mashiach. When is that referred to? There will come a time of final retribution. Yes, I will come to Seir. But that's when I'll come to Seir. And as many of the later commentaries have pointed out, what was Yaakov's commentary over here? What was his objection to not traveling with Esau? Sometimes Esau treats us as an enemy and tries to kill us. Sometimes Esau treats us as a brother. Miyad achi, miyad Esav. And what's the objection to being treated like a brother, says Yaakov, because ki aladim rakim, the children are weak. Sometimes we do pretty badly under Esav, not when they're prosecuting, not when they're persecuting, not when they're hunting us down, but when they're hugging us. And we're losing thousands, we're losing tens of thousands of souls to the society of Esav. Ki aladim rakim, va'hatsonda bakor loisalai, it's too much. We can't walk together. There's going to come a time when we're going to come together. That's the end of days. Right now, we still need to maintain our identity. And this closes the parasha of Avadia, and in this Hashem, we will start briefly with Yonah. Have a meaningful and wonderful day.